Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going to find one.
Are you confused with the ups and downs in the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stuff.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Hi, everybody. This is Peter Schiff, president of Euro Pacific Capital. Welcome to another hour of Wall Street Unspun. And we're doing this show live every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. We simulcast on shortwave radio on 5.07 megahertz and on my website at www.europac.net. We repeat the show on shortwave Saturdays at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, on shortwave 9.32 megahertz. At least I think we do. And again, all the archives are hopefully on my website as soon as we complete the program or by the following day. And so if you miss any of the Wall Street Unspuns, you can, you know, download them to an iPod or whatever, listen to them at your leisure from the archives section. Well, a few announcements before we get into the show. We want to remind everybody again of the Blanchard Conference, the New Orleans, rather, Investment Conference coming up. Coming up in late October. You know, there's still time to sign up for that. It should be a fun event. I'll be down there for about 4 days in New Orleans. And the date of it is October 25th. You can go to my website under the scheduled appearances. It's actually the only one I have up there right now. And you can click on that and you can register for the New Orleans conference from my website. There is a cost. I'm not sure. It's a few hundred dollars, but it's a good time and there'll be a lot of good speakers there. In addition to myself. Also, I'm going to be sending out an email, a mass email, hopefully today, maybe tomorrow, but I happen to catch an interview with Jim Rogers on Bloomberg, and it's great. It's about 20 minutes, a Q&A about the economy, the dollar, the Fed, foreign markets, just a great, great, superb interview with Jim Rogers. So I urge anybody, when you get that email, to make sure and take the time to watch that video. If you don't want to wait for it, just go on Bloomberg.com, and if you look down kind of, you know, where they have the videos, I believe it's still there, and you can click on it and watch it. Also want to thank, you know, I was out last week for Rosh Hashanah, and John Catalfio did the show in my place, and I got a lot of positive feedback from John, so I'm glad everybody enjoyed the program when he was there, and thank him for pitching in for me. And I appreciate the feedback for those of you who enjoyed John on the program. You know, John is the manager over at the Phoenix office, and he's been with the firm for quite some time, and he's a very knowledgeable, broker. And he's also, you know, got a pretty good staff down there now. I think we've got about five reps working in Phoenix under John. Anyway, you know, I've done a lot of television recently. I don't really have a lot scheduled, although I will be recording another open house, which is a CNN show. It airs 9:30 on Saturday. So this Saturday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, open house. And then they repeat it, I think, two more times over the weekend on Headline News. But yesterday, I did a lot of media yesterday. If you missed it, hopefully the shows will be on the website. I think we got them all. But I did CNN. I was on Glenn Beck again with Michael Panzer, another good person. He wrote a book, Financial Armageddon. And then I also did Fox News and CNN. You know, when I did Fox on Neil Cavuto, I wanted to go down to the studio because I was on, you know, immediately following Alan Greenspan, and I wanted to try to get a chance to meet him. But they really didn't want me in the studio. I guess they had too many other people in the studio, so I did it from Stanford. So I didn't get a chance to talk to Alan Greenspan. I really would have liked to have chatted with him. There's no guarantee he would have even given me the time of day. I mean, I know he's very busy with this media tour that he has promoting his book and trying to deny responsibility for everything that he did. And I'll talk about that later in the show and some of the things that Greenspan has been saying and some of the things he has been denying. But there are some really good television appearances. So, I mean, some great arguments. I mean, some ridiculous things that people were saying about inflation, about money, about interest rates. Just really the lack of intelligence among most people who pride themselves as experts on economics or investing is just amazing. How little people understand about the basics on who come on these programs, and you know they're not used to talking with somebody like me, so it usually it comes out of left field. But their reaction is, they think I don't know what I'm talking about. They think I'm completely clueless and off base, and that they're not even intelligent enough to understand that they're the ones that haven't a clue what they're talking about. But anyway, let me give out the telephone number to call for the show. It's we take calls, live calls. The number is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Just want to remind everybody too, I had a call, a couple of emails about a call I had 2 weeks ago when I did the show. I don't have any screeners. There's no 6-second delay. Everything is live. So, I mean, if you have any prejudices about anybody, try to keep them to yourself. So, it demeans the show and the callers when people start, insulting people, for no real reason. And so we want to make sure that, we keep on the subject. And if you disagree with what somebody says, fine, disagree with what they say, but don't insult them based on, their ethnicity. Anyway, of course, a lot of action today, last couple of days. Everybody should know that Ben Bernanke, lowered the Fed funds rate yesterday by 50 basis points, and the stock market went up, and the response from the Wall Street crowd is, I mean, they were very excited. They jumped up and down, and it was I mean, they're talking about Bernanke like he's the second coming of the Messiah. I'm hearing people say he's the greatest Fed chairman. He really showed how great he is, and he's brilliant. And what the hell did he do? He cut interest rates. I mean, what's so brilliant about that? I mean, my kid is 5 years old. He could do that. I mean, what kind of intelligence does it take to just lower interest rates? I mean, what would have been intelligent is if he raised interest rates. That would have shown he actually understood what was going on. But what did he do? He's just, he's just trying to inflate our way out of this problem. And you know what? It ain't going to work. It worked for Greenspan, but it ain't going to work for Bernanke, because it only worked for Greenspan in that we had the cooperation of the rest of the world, who was willing to loan us money at those low interest rates. They were willing to buy up all those mortgage-backed securities. Well, now that they're losing their butts on these things, they're not going to, be coming back for more of these mortgage-backed securities. And when Greenspan slashed interest rates in the aftermath of the bursting of the Nasdaq bubble, the dollar index was at 120. It had a long way to fall, and we just started to blow up the housing bubble. Wall Street hadn't invented securitized subprime mortgages yet, so all of that happened, and there was a lot of demand for the money that Greenspan was creating and printing, and a lot of the inflation was being kept out of consumer prices because it was going into real estate and it was going in, to these other areas, and it was held by foreigners offshore. Of course, a lot of inflation was going into consumer prices. It's just that the government indices don't show that. The CPI came out today, and the CPI was down. Unbelievably, it was down, and now year over year, the CPI says that prices are only up 2%. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Oil prices today are at $82 a barrel, a new all-time record high. In the last week, wheat went through $9 a bushel. Gold is at a new 25-year high. It's at $725 or so an ounce. That doesn't happen with 2% inflation. I just happened to go downstairs. I had a haircut today, and I bought some products, and I was having a chat with the owner of the salon, and she was saying it's getting ridiculous. She has to keep on changing her prices. They're rising so rapidly. In every real-world example that I encounter, one of the arguments I had with somebody on CNBC when this woman said that yesterday, she said, this is a great day for the American consumer. And I said, what are you talking about? The dollar got killed. You know, the dollar hit a new record low. How is that a good day for consumers? Maybe it's a good day for foreign consumers whose currencies got stronger, but how can it be a good day for American consumers when our money, our wages, our savings are worth less? That means we can't consume as and she was like, she said that, oh, no, the money, that has nothing to do with anything, that money supply has nothing to do with prices or this or that, and all kinds of nonsense. And I said, but, you know, the weak dollar is going to, you know, it causes prices to rise. And she said, oh, inflation's only 2%. And I said, well, no, it's not. I said, you know, just because the government claims that prices are rising at 2%, that doesn't mean anything. And she said, well, and then I said, you have to look at what prices are actually doing. And she said, no, what matters is the official statistics. I mean, this is how nuts she is, the official prices. She said, that's what matters, the official prices. I said, no, it doesn't. I said, try going to the supermarket and telling the clerk that you want to pay the official price. You know, he's going to laugh. Are you going to pay the real price? Now, this is absolutely amazing, some of the things that people are saying on CNBC. Somebody else on one of these, you know, I was talking about all the inflation, and one of the women, I think it might have been Diane Swank again, I'm talking about inflation, and she said, well, inflation is not, it's not the fault of Bernanke. They said she said the major cause of inflation is rising oil prices, and that's beyond his control. You know, she's got the cart before the horse. Rising oil prices aren't causing inflation. It's the inflation that's causing oil prices to rise. You know, and I tried to remind her. I said, you know, I'm the one who 4 or 5 years ago, when oil was trading for $20 a barrel, I'm the one that predicted it to come up here. I predicted $80 a barrel. Look at my right. I predicted, you know, you guys didn't predict it. And I said, you know why I knew that oil prices were going to go up? Because I understood inflation. I understood what causes it. I understood what the results are. The people that are surprised to see oil prices here are the people who are clueless about what inflation is. You know. Anyway, I know we got a few people calling in, but just a little bit more. I want to talk a little bit more about this rate cut. I mean, basically, the bottom line is Bernanke is trying to bail out the economy, bail out the real estate market. I heard one of these the CEOs of one of the home builders saying that this is fantastic. The Fed is going to stabilize housing prices. The Fed's not going to stabilize housing prices, and even if they could do it, it'd be a mistake. Because why would you want to stabilize prices at bubble levels? Prices are too high. The only reason they got to these levels was because of the lax lending standards and the speculation, because of the ninja loans, you know, the nothing down, no income, no documentation, no collateral, negative AM, teaser rates. You know, those types of loans aren't coming back. You know, the Germans and the Japanese and the English, you know, look at that bank, you know, over in the UK where people are lining up trying to get their money. You think anybody around Europe or Asia wants to buy any more securitized mortgages? Not on your life. So it doesn't matter what they do with these interest rates. You know, it's going to be harder and harder to borrow money to buy a home, and all these arms are going to reset, and they're going to reset a lot higher. The lower rates aren't going to do anything. So real estate prices are still going to come down. We're still going into a recession. All that's happening is now we're going to have even higher prices to deal with because we're creating even more inflation. And, of course, when the government is trying to bail out homeowners with inflation, remember, the Federal Reserve doesn't have any money. All it can do is print money. It doesn't have any real assets. And so if the government is going to bail somebody out, there's a cost, right? I mean, the government can do it through taxes, where the government says, okay, we're going to bail out homeowners. We're going to establish a fund to refinance these mortgages, and we need $1 trillion to do it. Okay, we're going to levy a surtax on anybody's income taxes, and we're going to make a big fund, and you're going to use taxpayer money to bail out homeowners. Well, if the government doesn't want to do that, then the Fed will bail them out, and it prints money. But somebody has to pay that cost. It's not out of thin air. And when the Fed creates money and uses it to bail somebody out, what happens is the value of all the existing dollars is diminished to offset for the increase in money supply that the Fed creates. And so if you're sitting there and you've got U.S. dollars, if you don't have a brokerage account with Europacific, or you do have an account, but you still have money someplace else in U.S. dollars, you're going to pay. You're going to be left holding the bag for this government bailout of people who bought McMansions with teaser rates that they can no longer afford. Because what's going to happen as the Fed tries to stabilize home prices and keep people out of foreclosure, they're debasing the dollar. See, Bush doesn't want to fess up and say, we want to bail people out with a tax increase. We want Ben Bernanke to bail us out because people think that there's no cost to that, that he can just snap his fingers and bail people out. He can't. For everybody that gets bailed out, somebody is going to suffer. And the people who are going to suffer are the people dumb enough to still have their money in U.S. dollars. And that's U.S. currency, whether it's in bonds, in a CD, in a money market, in anything. Any dollar-denominated asset, you're going to suffer. And you got to hurry up. You know, I've been talking about the dollar breaking through this 80 support level. The dollar index is now at 79 and falling. The Canadian dollar hit 99 cents. 99 cents. It's almost a buck. The euro went through 140. You know, if you go back to my earliest, you know, when I started doing this radio show, oil was still around $30 to $40. I mean, it might have been lower than that. It's at $82 and change. You know, I started doing this show, gold was, I don't know if it was in the low 400s. You know, it's at $725 an ounce, new highs. You know, so everything that I've been forecasting, everything that I've been saying, it's all working out. It's all panning out almost to the T. And believe me, it's not over, all right? It's not over. You know, the fat lady hasn't sung on this yet. The dollar has a long way to fall. In fact, the sell-off is just getting ready to kick into high gear. Basically, Ben Bernanke said, you know, with his 50 basis point rate cut, he doesn't give a damn about the dollar. It's going down. And you know what? They're probably going to cut rates some more because these rate cuts aren't going to do anything. The market's going to figure that out sooner than later. But, you know, you got to hurry up. You got to get your foreign portfolios together, and you got to do it soon because this is a ticking time bomb. And who knows how our creditors are going to respond to how irresponsible? Can you imagine oil prices breaking out to record highs above $80 a barrel, gold going to 25-year highs, moving up, the dollar breaking down through long-term support, and what does this clown do? He cuts interest rates by 50 basis points. Unbelievable! They should be hiking rates. Anyway, let me get to the phones. Kevin from Wisconsin. Go ahead, Kevin.
I had heard quite a bit of people saying that even though the financial stocks are down 20% on the year, that it's still a good idea to stay away from them. But this week now, since the Federal Reserve lowered the rate, I've noticed now yesterday, like Goldman Sachs was way up. Again today, they're way up. They're going to be reporting their financial statement tomorrow, and everybody thinks it's apparently. And then I also heard today Smith Barney announced today a big raise for all their brokers.
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about that. I mean, the brokers are on commission. How are they getting a raise? They're increasing commissions?
For any Smith Barney broke, this was on public television, that nightly business report, and what it said is something like any broker who brings in more than so many dollars in a year is going to get a big bonus kind of a thing.
You know what? They must be having a hard time attracting money, so that might not actually amount to a raise if the brokers can't find any more money.
It's
kind of like an incentive to try to go and gather more assets because they probably have to replace the assets that they've lost. But, you know, stay away from these financials. You know, I had that debate with Ben Stein on Fox a couple of weeks ago, and he recommended Merrill Lynch, and this woman on there recommended Goldman Sachs, and I said that these things are ticking time bombs. Look, there are so many earnings. I don't care that we've got a couple of decent earnings recently out of some of these companies. Bear Stearns, I think, reports tomorrow. I mean, they got to have horrendous numbers. But eventually, there's a lot of losses buried into these investment banks. Plus, all the earnings that they had for the last few years, they can't make money that way anymore. They were making money securitizing debt, mortgages, credit cards, auto loans. That business is gone. They were making money running their hedge funds. Now their hedge funds are blowing up. They were making money funding M&A deals and private equity. That money is drying up. You know, earnings are going to collapse. You know, look at when I did that show, these guys recommended the financials, and they're up a little bit, maybe 5 or 7%. I recommended Newmont Mining on that show. Newmont Mining, since I recommended it 2 weeks ago on that TV show, is up 25%, way more than any of the financials. So, yeah, sure, the financials have gone up. The gold stocks are going up a lot faster, and they're likely to keep going up, whereas these financials are going to collapse, I think. I think they're going to drop, you know, tremendously, just like they did after the dot-com bubble blew up, because their revenue source, the revenue source for these brokerage firms was investment banking and underwriting of tech stocks and internet stocks. And then when that bubble burst, they lost all that revenue, and then they got sued. And I still think that all these big brokerage firms are going to get sued for all these mortgages that they sold people.
But wouldn't you think that these bad things would show up by now in their report?
No. I don't know. It takes a while for them to show up. You know, people, I was having these arguments on these TV shows, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, 6 months ago, and I was talking about, you know, the problems, you know, from the mortgage market or subprime, and people kept telling me, but then why haven't we seen it? And I kept saying, because it takes time. It takes time to happen. It doesn't all happen overnight.
But
we didn't inflate the bubble in one day, and it's not going to deflate in one day.
They're so cheap, they should be giving them away in Kellogg's Christie's boxes.
Well, that's what that guy said, yeah.
Ben Stein.
They're cheap like the home builders were cheap last year.
I was going to say, Ben, the word I keep hearing in relation to Ben Bernanke is what he did, how courageous they...
No, that wasn't courageous at all. That was the cowardly way. What would have been courageous if he had if he fessed up and he told the American public, you know what? You've been borrowing too much money. You've been spending too much money. You know, and we got to raise interest rates now because we have no savings. We got to punish. We got to discourage borrowing. We got to encourage savings, and we need higher rates. And we got to cut back on money supply growth because you know inflation is going out of control. The dollar is falling through the floor. We have to defend the value of our currency. We can't let the value of our currency collapse. Interest rates have got to go up, and if that means there's a recession, so be it. That would have been courageous. He took the coward's way out.
The statement that I didn't understand, but Ben Stein, is he at one point in that interview he said, "I suspect the smart money here is short the market." Why, after he had just gotten done saying that this was a great time to buy the financial stocks, I didn't really understand what he meant.
Yeah, I don't know, but I saw another article from him recently that said, "How to recession-proof your portfolio." So I mean, here, you know, I don't know. So sometimes he talks out of both sides of his mouth.
Okay,
thank you for the call. Have you read my book, Kevin?
I have read the book, yes.
Did you tell anybody else to read it?
I enjoyed the book. I haven't, I don't know anyone. I haven't made, most of the people I know are illiterate.
Well, maybe they can appear on CNBC and give some economic commentary.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Hey, I know I got a few people on hold, but let me take a quick break, play a commercial, and I'll come back for the telephones.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
We are back. And, you know, talking about gold and silver, too, you know, people think, oh, did I miss it? Is it too late to buy? It is still early. You know, I mean, gold is still cheap, and silver is yet to break out. I think silver is getting ready to go. You should be buying gold. You should be buying silver. I still love the Perth Mint. You know, we sell the Perth Mint certificates, the best way to buy gold and to keep it out of the country. You know, you can call our office. You know, Danny Dwyer in Newport Beach office runs the Perth Mint program. You can call Danny at 800-993-8350. I think she's in the office now, 800-993-8350. Get yourself some gold and silver if you don't have any. It's going higher. You know, I read, you know, there's a lot about me on the Internet, you know, and sometimes I look around and see what people are saying. There was some blog, and I found one of them, and somebody was trying to criticize me. They said, I found some place where Peter Schiff was wrong about something, which is not an easy task to do. And he found the quote where I said, and this is a year ago, I said it in October, so it's not quite a year ago, about 11 months ago. And I said, quote, "Even if you finally listened to me and bought your first ounce of gold at $720 an ounce, a year from now you'll still be glad you did." And at the time I said that, gold had already pulled back, and it was around $560 an ounce. It had a huge drop. And this guy said, aha, you see, Peter Schiff said that in a year, gold would be back above 720, and here it is, it's only 6, you know, and it's not there, so he was wrong. And then somebody posted it and said, it's not October something yet. Well, all of a sudden, I noticed that here we are, and it might look like that was a good call after all. And, of course, since I said it when gold was at 550, saying that within a year it would go above 720 was a very, very gutsy call, and it turned out to be dead-on accurate, and I said it right around the lows. I think we're finally breaking out here. I mean, I think it's a green light to buy gold all around the world. And you know, I think the buying is gonna kick in the high gear. You know, I think, you know, we're gonna go, I think the next stop is around 750 on gold. That'll be a nice, you know, then maybe we'll pull back a little bit. And then I think we're gonna make a run at 800 before the end of the year, maybe even 850. And next year, hey, I expect us to break through 1,000 next year and not look back. Oil prices too. I think oil has a shot of going above 90, maybe even as high as 100 before the end of this year. Now, I'm not saying it's going to do that for sure, certain, but it's got a shot at it, and I'm certain that it'll be above $100 a barrel next year. So next year, you know, we'll be looking at $1,000 gold and $100 oil. And it's not just gold and oil that are going up. You know, it's prices across the board. Food, I think, is really going to take off. I think, as I've been writing about this, I talked about a year or two ago, that if people think there's sticker shock at the gas station, wait till they see the supermarket. I think over the next year or two, you're really going to see these food prices kicking in. I literally think the cost of shopping in the supermarket is going to double or triple, just like it did at the gas pump. And that's really going to affect a lot of people, family of four, who's, you know, they go to the supermarket, and right now they spend maybe $150 or $200 a week. All of a sudden, that turns into $500 a week or $600 a week. You know, and you add to that, they're resetting mortgages. Remember, over the next 2 years, you've got all these arms resetting. And when these arms reset, assuming that, you know that they don't refinance, which most people won't be able to do, when these arms reset, most people are going to see increases in their mortgage payments of anywhere between 30 and 70%. You know, I mean, that's huge. I mean, if the average is a 40% increase, I mean, someone who's used to paying $1,000 a month is paying $1,400. Someone that was used to paying $2,000 a month is paying $2,800. You think the average homeowner has got an extra, you know, $800 lying around in disposable income each month? Hell no. I mean, he's already living paycheck to paycheck and using a credit card to bridge the gap. He doesn't have any extra money. If he had any extra money, he would have bought a bigger house with a bigger mortgage. People maxed out, you know, and if they're having to spend a few hundred dollars a week more on food and another $50 for gasoline, I mean, there's no way. I mean, this is going to be a real, real disaster. And the only thing I can keep telling you, the people who are listening to the show, is don't wait. This is a train wreck. Do not stand in the middle of it waiting to get smashed from every direction. You got to get out. You got to watch that Jimmy Rogers interview, 20 minutes, and at least three or four times during that interview, he basically looks straight at the camera and says, get out of the dollar. Get rid of your dollars. Right? And this guy is not normally dramatic. You know, I mean, he's a very intelligent, shrewd investor. I've met him several times. I really respect his opinion. But he normally tries to tone things down. He doesn't want to, you know, be an alarmist. But, I mean, this is the first time I've really seen him urge people to get ordinary Americans to get rid of their dollars. And, you know, even in an interview with Alan Greenspan on 60 Minutes, you know, and they introduced him as the greatest Fed chairman ever, when, of course, he's the worst. But she cornered him down and she asked him, you know, what currency he'd want to get paid for in his book. And he basically said, well, the question is, what currency do I want to hold my assets in? And he wouldn't answer. But he basically told her that he's diversified, that he's not all in dollars. And she said, well, even just for your cash, for your currency? And he said, yes. So Alan Greenspan knows, right? I said, he can read the writing on the wall. After all, he wrote it. So if the Fed chairman, Alan Greenspan, knows enough not to keep his money or his client's money in the dollar, the currency he used to control, you know, why should we want to keep our money there? Anyway, let's go back to the phones. I got Calvin in New York. Go ahead, Calvin.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, not bad. I did read your book, and I recommended it to several of my customers. In fact, they're probably listening. I got someone in Charlottesville, Virginia tonight that are probably listening to your show. In doing so, I think you touched on this earlier, after reading your book, with gold up into the $700 range, should they wait for a pullback, or you don't think there'll be another pullback?
Well, look, there's always going to be pullbacks. Okay? Mm. The question is, Is there going to be a pullback from here that's meaningful enough that you should wait for it? Because the next pullback might be from 700 back down to 720. I just would, my theory is just buy it. You know, you never know for sure when there's going to be a pullback, but I think there's more risk in being in dollars and waiting for gold to pull back than being in gold. And you know, because if gold pulls back, it's not going to pull back a lot, and it's not going to stay down for a long period of time. But if you're waiting for a pullback, the danger is gold just runs away and you don't buy it, or you end up buying it a lot higher. And I think that we're still very low. I think by the time the average American is buying gold, and your neighbor finds out that you bought your gold at 720 and he's paying $2,000 an ounce, and you're like, well, I got mine. It's, I mean, you're going to look, you know, you're going to have it cheap. These, you know, and whether you buy it at 700 or 670 or 730, it's not going to matter when people are paying $2,000 and $3,000 an ounce for it.
Yeah, yeah. My other question was on the gold mining stocks. A lot of those stocks went down as gold was going up and as the stock market was, you know, making a little bit of a rebound. What causes that?
Well, I mean, selling. I mean, you know, what caused the gold stocks to drop so much? And, of course, now the gold stocks, the Dow didn't make a new high. The S&P didn't make a new high. But the XAU and the Huey both made new 52-week highs. Those stocks went down. When we had the correction in the initial decline in the NASDAQ and the Dow, and the Dow almost went down 10% or whatever, that big drop, gold stocks got killed. They were down way more. They were down twice as much as the Dow and the NASDAQ. They were down like 20%. And now they've come back stronger. Not only did they gain back everything they lost, but now they're higher than they were before the sell-off. So there was initially some margin calls, some forced liquidations. People needed to raise cash. But the real buying, the real money came and overwhelmed the selling, and the markets moved up. Because the real money, not the leveraged speculator money, but real money is moving into gold and gold stocks. And that's why they went up, and that's why they made new highs, and they are leading this market. And, you know, as everybody knows, I mean, I've got a lot of gold stocks personally. I have a lot of margin debt. And when that happened, you know, my account dropped, you know, quite a bit. I mean, you know, it was a huge drop. I didn't get any margin calls, but it was a big drop. But, you know, I wasn't worried. I wasn't nervous. I didn't lose any sleep. And all of a sudden, you know, I not only did it recover everything it lost, but, you know, hundreds and, you know, but a lot, you know, I'm a lot higher than I was. And I did take advantage of the sell-off, and I did buy a few more things for myself in the sell-off. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, it was a gift to us. And many of my clients, and I wish that video, you know, my back office guys had problems setting out that video. It was a great video I recorded a couple weeks ago, just urging people to buy the pullback before it turned around. And, you know, the Australian dollar, you know, that was down to 80 cents. You know, now it's back up to 85, 86 cents. You know, I mean, some of these currencies, you know, they just really got sold off too quickly. You know, in just people having to cover up some of these carry trades. But it was a temporary aberration. You know, I had to talk to a client. I had a handhold with a client today, a guy who wanted to cash out his whole account, and he was barely down. In fact, he was up on his original account, but he recently transferred in another 100 or so, and it was only down about 4,000 or 5,000. But I think he was down about 10% for a while, and he was nervous, and he just, you know, wanted to go back to, you know, to the U.S. because he didn't like the volatility. And I said, look, you know, first of all, that was like a once in a – I've never seen that much volatility the 10 years I've been buying foreign stocks, so it's not a daily occurrence. But I reminded him that the real risk wasn't in the stocks that he owned with me. The real risk was in the dollar. And if he's worried about a 10 or 15% decline, I said, you better prepare yourself for a 50% decline if you keep your money in dollars. And it's not a 50% decline in that you lose your money. It's that your money loses half its value because everything you want to buy costs twice as much.
That's exactly right.
Risk. The risks are in America. You know, no one needs to worry. When you open up an account and we buy stocks, don't even care. I tell people, don't even worry about what the price is in dollars because you're pricing it in a doomed currency. Eventually, it's not going to matter. You know, I don't even care what this thing is. Who knows what the dollar is going to be worth? If Bernanke doesn't come to his senses, if they don't start raising interest rates, the dollar is going to get destroyed. You know, I've been projecting the dollar index down at 40, which is the dollar losing half its value. I mean, if they keep making these mistakes, who knows? Maybe it goes to 10. You know, maybe, you know, who knows how much of it, you know, I don't want to, but all you know is this. You don't want to find out how much value the dollar loses when you own them. Find out how much somebody else loses on their dollars. You know, don't hold the currency and to find out. You know, it's like if a ship is going to sink, you know, don't watch it sink from the deck of the ship. Get on that rowboat, get on the lifeboat, and paddle away and watch it sink from a safe distance.
Exactly. The guy that was on with you on Glenn Beck last night, it was just weird hearing somebody on a split screen with you start agreeing with most everything.
Yeah, they normally don't have two bears. But, you know, Glenn Beck, you know, I didn't even know about Glenn Beck until I started going on his show. I like Glenn Beck. I mean, he's one of the best guys out there. I had even no idea the guy existed.
He gets it.
He gets it a lot more than these so-called financial experts, and he doesn't even hold himself out to be a financial guy or stock guy, but he's got a lot more common sense than just about anybody else on television.
Well, you're doing a great job, and by the way, Boone Pickens said today that oil will go over $100 a barrel as well.
Yeah, you know, Boone's being, you know, he's saying by next year, it could go before the end of this year.
Yes, it could.
All right, well, thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay, and here is Peter from Florida. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, how are you? Hey, Pete, I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you. It's a good name.
I feel for you when you're on. When I see you on the programming, when the voice of reason gets scorned, you get chastised for telling the truth while, you know, the rest of the talking heads are just talking up a big cheer. And I want to know how I feel for you. I feel like reaching into the TV set and just saying, yeah.
You know what? The thing is, it's all a record. You know, I saw one of these posts where I posted stuff. There was somebody had posted one of my TV interviews from 2 years ago, and so I watched it. And it's amazing. It's amazing the things that I said and the way that I say them and how accurate those forecasts have come out. You know, one of these women the other day was accusing me of, is your arm tired from patting yourself on the back? You know, the reason I have to remind these people about how right I was is so they take me seriously. They need to understand that I know what I'm talking about. Because every time I say something and they, like, you know, act like it's ridiculous, they forget about all the other things I said in the past that they also thought were ridiculous that have come true.
Yeah, of course, of course. Well, you know what? On some level, you do have other investment analysts that do agree with you. But I'll tell you what, I got something for you. You have to find it because I've been passing the book around to my friends, and I don't have the name of the author. But here's the trump card for your argument if you ever need to do it. Okay, the name of the book was titled How to Profit from the Coming Devaluation. Now here's the freaky part. The book was written in 1969. Okay? And if you read it, now I'm old enough, you know, I'm old enough to have lived through all these economic cycles, all right? But remember the name of the book. I'm sure you can find it if you dig through it.
Well, they were talking about the devaluation of the 1970s. Yeah.
Well, the author actually predicted right on the rise in gold from $35 an ounce to $8.50 in 1980.
Yeah, my father made the same predictions in his book. You ought to read his book, The Biggest Con. He wrote it in like 1975.
Okay. Now I have some questions for you. I'm really interested in the market, but
I think you wrote it in 72, actually. But okay, go ahead.
Right. Okay. What about, you know, I've been accumulating gold in the form of Krugerrands. I also been buying the ETFs and some of it,
uh-huh,
futures and some of that. Now, what about foreign currencies?
Well, yeah, well, look, I mean, that's what we're doing, although we're mainly buying foreign stocks that are denominated in foreign currency. So you get all the upside potential of the currency.
Right, but all those
dividend income,
fiat currencies, too.
Huh?
They're all fiat currencies, too.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. You know, but at least the fundamentals of the economies are sound. They're not, you know, fiat currencies aren't all going to collapse all at once. So, you know, and, you know, you have to just go to countries that have sounder economics. And sure, you know, there's going to be inflation in Europe, but, you know, if you own a utility, so they'll just raise their rates. But you've got to go where, you know, you've got to own assets where the currencies are relatively sounder and the economies are in better shape.
You know, I have a tremendous problem, and this I didn't need, but I sold all my real estate about 18 months ago. Okay.
Well, congratulations.
Well, congratulations, yes, but the problem is now I'm okay. Now I got I have a lot of cash. Okay.
Well, what you got to do is tomorrow you got to pick up the phone, you got to call my office, you got to get your account set up, you got to send us that cash, and you got to let us invest it for you. Because in the end, if you're still holding that cash in a couple of years, you probably would have been better off keeping your real estate.
I understand that.
Cash is going to lose more value than real estate. That's how bad cash is going to be.
I understand.
Because you know what? Bernanke can't print real estate, but he can print all the cash he wants.
Right. That's right. That's right.
And that's what he's going to do.
Well, the whole thing is set up, and you know, it's like you said, okay, by coming out and blasting the populace, okay, with all of this cheap money, okay, you have to realize, okay, that people don't, like you said, people are living paycheck to paycheck, okay, so it doesn't matter to them if the currency is inflated. They don't really recognize it.
No, they don't. They have no clue.
Recognize it. And
you know what? They can feel the fact that they're paying more for things. They can see their home equity vanishing. They can see that they can't make ends meet and they're struggling with their debt. People know that there's something wrong with the economy. They just don't know why. They can't.
Right.
But when you look at these polls, and Congress is so unpopular and Bush is so unpopular, it's because the economy is really rotten. All right, P.A.P., thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And
hang in there. I'll be in touch with you.
Yeah, call my office. It's 800-727-7922. Before the dollar goes any lower, you're losing money every day in that cash.
I know, but I've been like I said, I've been aware of this. I just
being aware of it is not that's a step in the right.
Well, no, it's not that I haven't been acting on it. I have been acting on it.
But it's not going to do you much good when everybody's broke and you say, yeah, I knew this was coming, but I didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, well, no, I have been.
You'll be okay with that. But if you have a lot of cash, no point in watching it evaporate.
No, it's just that, some of it is in time instruments, it's different. But what I have been doing is I've been getting out of the time deposits and putting...
Well, get out of them, even if you have to pay a penalty. Because chances are, if you get out now and pay a penalty, you'll have a lot more to invest than if you wait for the maturity, because by then the dollar can be 10% below where it is now.
You're right, you're absolutely right. But I've been buying gold. I just don't,
call us up. Go get some gold to the Perth Mint. Anyway, thanks for the call.
Okay, babe. Thank you.
We got a few more calls on hold. Just stay with me. I got three more people on hold. Probably we shouldn't take any more calls. We just have the one segment left. Let's take a quick break, and I'll be back for the final calls.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, we are back. And let me go right to the phones. What's going on? Let's go Mitchell in North Carolina. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yes, Pete. Pete, I'd like to say I really appreciate what you're doing. I've been following you for a couple of years now, and you have been right. And I tell you, it's almost getting kind of scary. I'm worried about what's going to happen to some of my friends and colleagues that they think it's strange when I say invest in gold, and the Dow is, they tell me the Dow is making new highs, and I tell them what my silver and gold is, and they say it don't pay any dividends and all this, but gold is going up for some reason, and I think people are looking for safety. But something I wanted to ask you about, and I'm a Perth Mint customer of yours, and I saw an article today on another website. I won't mention the website, but anyway, this writer expressed that being that the U.S. dollar was losing value, that our products overseas were more competitive, and this person expressed, was talking about mainly the Dow stocks, the ticks and different things, and said that in Asia mainly and Europe, they were snapping up their products, and they predicted that, well, this is going to be a big advantage. This lower dollar is going to be a big advantage for the Dow stock, international stocks. And
it's not going to be a big advantage. I mean, sure, you know, some of our exporters will be able to earn more dollars for their exports, but the dollars are going to have less value. And when they distribute those dollars to their shareholders in dividends, they're going to need a lot more of those dollars to pay the higher cost of living. You know, we're going to earn more dollars, but we're going to actually earn fewer euros and fewer Canadian dollars. You know, it's like putting your goods on sale. You know, if you cut your price and you sell your and you have a sale, you can sell more goods, but you're not getting full price. You know, the key is to get full price for your goods. The key is to get more for your exports, not less. This is not a good thing. It's Wall Street smoke and mirrors. Now, yes, if you want to look at the lesser, you know, where you would lose the least, if you're going to invest in U.S. stocks, then yes, invest in the exporters because they will lose less value than the domestically focused stocks. But they are not going to benefit from a cheap dollar, and you're not going to benefit from a cheap dollar by being in U.S. stocks that export. You're going to benefit from a cheap dollar by being out of the dollar. You know, get into a foreign company, and that's how you're going to benefit.
Okay. Okay, and then your stock appreciation, your stock would be in the foreign currency, and you'd be getting a gain there, plus your dividends would be
in the foreign currency.
Yes, and okay.
Yeah, their earnings are all in the foreign currency, the stock is priced in the foreign currency, the dividends are paid in the foreign currency.
Yes. Okay, and when this thing turns around, well, Peter, do you think that there is possibly a chance that the U.S. could go into hyperinflation?
Yes, there is a chance. I mean, that's the danger. That's the worst-case scenario. All right, that's the real risk on the course that we're on. We're on that path. That doesn't mean we have to stay on that path. Hopefully, you know, we can veer off the path before we get to hyperinflation. And I don't know how to book the odds that we're going to do that. But you know what? It's not impossible. The odds are not zero. They're probably greater than 10%, but I don't know what they are. But believe me, that's the worst case scenario. We hope that doesn't happen. But there is a chance that will happen. And the only way it won't happen is if the Fed eventually changes its course and starts tightening, even though the economy is in a recession, and clamps down on money supply growth and lets people fail. Lets things like, you know, what if Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae go bankrupt? The Fed's going to have to let it happen. The government's not going to have, and if the federal government tries to bail them out, the Fed's going to have to not cooperate and not provide the money. Because if we try to bail everybody out, if we try to pretend that nobody's lost any money, then everybody's going to lose all their money because the money's going to have no value.
Yeah, and
you got to be careful. And that's why, you know, my clients need to be out of U.S. dollars because that is a real risk. And, you know, you don't want, why assume that risk when you don't have to?
Right.
It's not a question of how much of, you know, it's not a question of whether or not the dollar is going to lose value. In my mind, it's going to lose value. There's no way it can't lose value.
Well,
the question is how much. So now, once we know that, then why own them? I mean, what's the point? There's no point.
Okay. Okay, so gold is a good hedge against inflation.
Yes, because they can't
and
gold.
Silver.
Yes, silver too.
And platinum.
Yeah, look, anything governments can't create, but I like these monetary metals because I think that the world is going to embrace them once again. And, you know, look, gold was at $800.50 in 1980.
Yes.
How many things do you know that you can buy and pay less money than people paid in 1980?
I don't know anything. Gold is the cheapest asset class I know of.
That's right. It's cheap. It's dirt cheap, and keep buying it. Anyway, thanks for the call. I got two more to go, and I got 10 minutes. Let's go to Tyler in California. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, Peter, how you doing? I just want you to clear something up for me. The relationship of the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department. I mean, they're totally different. But
well, the Treasury Department is an agency of the federal government. The Federal Reserve is not. The Federal Reserve is separate. It's a private company. I mean, it's kind of quasi-government. It acts as if it were part of the government, but it's not. It's independent of the government. you know, what? President, you know, I mean, the Secretary of the Treasury answers to the President, you know, I mean, once you know, the President appoints a Fed chairman, he's totally independent. I mean, he can tell, you know, the President to pound sand, and the President can't fire him.
Well, let me ask you this. Why would the Fed want to debase the currency? Doesn't that, wouldn't that hurt them in the end?
Well, they don't. The thing is, they don't care about the end. They want to debase the currency to keep the party going, to keep their, to get their crony buddies reelected, who are in Congress and in the White House. I mean, you know, they want to play Santa Claus. They want to pretend that, you know, that they can print money and create wealth, that it's actually real, that they have the power to do anything. The Fed has no power. The Fed doesn't have anything. It just has a printing press.
Yeah, but they're separate. Why would you want to, if you're a member bank of the Fed, why would you want to see the current, you know, the loans you've made, basically, I mean, that wouldn't be good for your business. I mean, how would that be good for your business to debase the currency?
Well, the,
you have loans in US dollars.
It's just because the Fed gets the benefit as a company. They get the benefit of creating the money and spending it. So they create something for nothing, and then they use it to buy something. They buy treasuries or whatever assets they want, and they buy them with money they create.
Okay, well, here's a...
They improve their own balance sheet because whenever they issue Federal Reserve notes, they buy something with it.
Okay,
so
here's a...
A lot of what they're buying is government bonds, so they're not really getting anything when they're buying government bonds. But
you also mentioned 70% of the GDP is composed of consumption in the U.S. What was it before, and what?
Oh, it was, you know, I mean, it was a lot lower. I mean, maybe it was, it, maybe, I mean, it was still over 50%, but now it's over 70%. I mean, it's the highest percentage of our GDP is consumption than at any time in our history, and it's higher than any other nation in the world.
All right, last question here. What you mentioned before on a previous show here that you mentioned that trust ultimately go to zero. Is that how does that work? For oil trusts.
Somebody asked me about that. I was talking about just oil and gas trusts. Because remember, these oil and gas trusts in Canada have depleting assets. They have reserves. They have, you know, and they publish their life reserves. Usually they might have a 10-year, you know, reserve life. But generally they look to replace their reserves and grow their reserves. But ultimately, when you own an energy trust, eventually all the energy that they have, all the oil, is going to be sold, pumped and sold, and it's going to be worthless. But you know that going in. And a lot of the dividends that you get on these things are not taxed because they're considered returns of principal. And as I said, I own a lot of these oil and gas trusts, and it's my personal intention to own these trusts until the last drop of oil is pumped and until it's worth zero. And by then, I would have gotten my money back many, many, many times over on the investment because of all the income that is generated by selling off those reserves. But you have to understand that they can't pay that for 100 years. They will run out of oil. But I think by the time they sell their last, you know, their last barrel, who knows how many hundreds of dollars a barrel they'll be getting for it.
Okay. Also, I read an article that in the Australian news you mentioned something with the U.S. GDP is falling by a certain, I don't know if it was per capita or whatnot, but...
Yeah, well, they actually originally misquoted me, and then they corrected it. But what I said, right now, U.S. per capita GDP is about the seventh highest in the world. So there are six other countries where per capita GDP is greater than in the United States. And it was my prediction that within 2 or 3 years, the United States will drop out of the top 20, so that there will be 20 countries where the per capita GDP is higher than ours, including countries like Australia, Spain, Greece, you know. And people, you know, for us to think that we're going to have a lower per capita GDP than Greece, I mean, that's a big step down, you know, in the pecking order for the United States. But I think it's going to happen.
So I just looked at the GDP. I'm not sure if I misread it, but that would put us, like, above Indonesia, like just above Indonesia?
We'd be way above Indonesia. I mean, we wouldn't, okay. You know. I mean, I put it on, you can see it on I did a commentary on it. I did a list of 30 countries, and I showed in that commentary where we would be.
Okay. All right. That's...
And I think it's on my website right now. It's the last article I did. It's called American Consumers Are Losing Their Crowns. And I had on there, let me see, I had the chart. Yeah, I mean, right now, the countries that have higher per capita GDPs than us
are Luxembourg, Norway, Ireland, Switzerland, Iceland. Those are the ones that are above us on the list. And we're right above, right below us is Sweden, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia. And the way I'm predicting it's going to go, the countries that are above us will still be above us, but then the countries that I'm thinking would go above us would be Sweden, the Netherlands, the UK, Canada, Australia, France, Germany, the United Arab Emirates, Japan, Singapore, Spain, New Zealand, Greece, Israel, and Portugal. But we would still be above Saudi Arabia, Chile, Russia, Mexico, Argentina. You know, we'd still be, our per capita GDP, even with under that scenario, would still be three times Argentina's.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, but basically what it takes for that to happen is a 50% decline in the value of the dollar. Remember, when the dollar goes down by 50%, everybody else's GDP doubles in dollar terms. So it's very easy to reorganize that graph if the dollar goes down. Anyway, thanks for the call. I got one more call, and I don't want to run out of time.
Thank you,
let's take the last caller, Daniel from California. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, Peter. My name's Daniel, and I'm a client of yours. And I have a question. I have a home equity line of credit, and my family, my wife and I, have low debt. And we were wondering if we should use that home equity line of credit to, it's a 7% interest rate, to use it to purchase gold, foreign stocks.
Well, it's very difficult. I mean, how much equity do you have in a house right now?
We actually paid it off. It's
so you have no mortgage on it at all?
But we have a HELOC at a zero balance. So we have $70,000 available.
Right, but how long, if you borrow it, is the rate fixed?
We can fix it, yes. We can lock it in three different loans.
But for how long will it be fixed?
For 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, if I were you and I couldn't sell the house, I would at least tap into that home equity line. But I don't know that I would borrow to buy gold that pays no dividends. What I would rather see you do, and again, it's a risky strategy and you need to talk to an individual rep at Euro Pacific or any place, is try to buy some foreign stocks that would pay you a 7% dividend. So that means that on the borrowed money, you would be getting income on your foreign assets that would service the debt. So you wouldn't be coming out of pocket every month to make that payment. Then if I'm right and the dollar collapses, let's say the dollar gets cut in half and you borrowed $70,000 to buy some foreign stocks, now those foreign stocks are worth $140,000. You can sell half of them, pay off the loan completely, and now you have $70,000 of foreign stocks paying dividends and you got them for nothing. If the dollar loses 90% of its value, that $70,000 turns into $700,000, and you can pay off your entire mortgage with 1 year's worth of dividend payments.
Okay.
So that's the way you can lock it in. You know, if you want it, because you can borrow in dollars and acquire other assets.
Okay.
And it's not nearly as risky as just buying gold, because if you buy gold, you know, and gold goes down and it's paying you no dividends, you're just going to be making those mortgage payments every month, and you know, and eventually you might, you know, you can lose. So I even though I think gold's going to go up, I don't really encourage people to borrow money to buy gold. You should buy gold with cash that you have. But if you're going to do some type of debt finance trade, you should have a positive carry, meaning you should try to buy an asset with a higher yield than the 7% cost of money.
Okay, and then I have one more real quick question, Peter, please. The foreign currency accounts on EverBank, do you recommend...
No, I don't. I mean, I like the guys at EverBank, and in concept, I like what they're doing, but in practice, I don't like it, and here's why. When you buy a CD at EverBank, what you're doing is lending money to EverBank. You're making a loan to a bank. They're promising to pay you back in the foreign currency of your choice, but you are a creditor of that bank. And if that bank goes under because it has a bunch of mortgages or subprime mortgages or something, if that bank fails, you're not going to get back your Australian dollars or your New Zealand dollars or your Singapore dollars. You're just a creditor, and the FDIC will pay you off up to $100,000. And you might think, well, I'm only going to buy a $50,000 CD, so I'm set. I get $100,000. Well, what if the dollar loses 90% of its value, and that $50,000 CD turns into $500,000? And then EverBank fails, you don't get $500,000 back. You only get $100,000. So, look, and the interest rates that they pay you are not worth it. You can buy through me government bonds in any currency where EverBank has a CD and get a higher rate of interest and take less risk. Because instead of loaning money to EverBank, you're loaning money to a foreign government. Anyway, I'm running out of time.
Thanks for the call. I might already be out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I will be back again next week, you know, for the same time. Am I still going at Wall Street Unspun? Okay, still got time. Wall Street Unspun. And don't forget to buy the book, Crash Proof, and call us up by 800-727-7922. And look for that email and watch that video with Jimmy Rogers. You definitely got to see it. Thanks, everybody, again, for listening. Now I'm not even sure. Do I have more time? I normally have a countdown sent to me, and I can't see anything, so I don't know.